It's important for each of you to understand that the real you already knows the perfect meaning of forgiveness, the perfect meaning of peace, the perfect meaning of unity, the perfect meaning of love. It's not anything you have to learn. The things that have happened to you since you reached the age of self-awareness are the things that have caused you to leave that first meaning, that first thing. So this isn't, don't ever hear that these things as something that you have to do. None of this stuff, if you ever hear the slightest instant, slightest little teeny bit, that anything that comes out of my mouth is something that you have to do, then you've heard wrong. But I know that most of the time you'll hear, oh, this means I should do this. It never means that, never once. It means that all we have to do is in effect be more thankful, because we know that the anchor of our soul is sure. That the real meaning of forgiveness is within us already. The real meaning of love is there. The real meaning of oneness and certainty is there. We never have to be concerned. I mean, even in the midst, if for a moment feel confused, we don't have to be concerned about it. That's something that the world can know nothing about. The world can never, ever, ever once be at ease or at peace in their confusion. Yeah. Remember this? This was my Bible. These words. For all those years that I was alone. I mean, it's still, I know I keep saying this to you, but it's so important in terms of the testing that I have to keep repeating it. I was alone, essentially, in this doctrine from January of 1972 until January of 1977, in essence. Now, there were other people around every once in a while, but there was never anyone around that believed the same thing. They were around only in the long run or in the short run as antagonists. Now, try to imagine 5 years of pressure by everybody against something that you believe. I can't explain to you how that works. It is to be the only one, to have no ally, to have no one to go to, no place. Well, this series of scriptures is the only thing that saved me during that time, and it's why I cannot stand these idiots that are blaspheming the name of God among the Gentiles today, that say that gain is godliness. And we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always, always delivered unto death, for Jesus' sake. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace which might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things that are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The biggest enemy that I had during that 5 years of aloneness was my own mind talk. And I battled it night and day, as certain as I was in a war. I had been in many battles and many fights and many weird situations in my life, but nothing as severe as that 5 years. I pray by the grace of God that we, by revelation, can shorten that battle in you. That's all we're doing here. As long as ever, in any instant, you feel like a victim, you know you're being deceived. You only can feel like a victim through mind talk. And I'm talking the slightest victimhood. And the mystery of all this is, in the midst of all of this heavy, heavy stuff, if you once take yourself seriously, you're in the wrong ballpark. You're in the wrong ballpark. Those are the simple things. I promise you that he is faithful. Why? How do I know? I know because I know. If you endure, there is no condition there. If you abide, there is no mind talk that can win over on you. My life was mind talk. I was a scientist. That's all scientists do. I mean, I didn't wake up one morning and boom, all of a sudden, Ole Anthony is spiritual. By anybody of the world's definition, now I am anything but spiritual. But I know what walking in the Spirit means. They don't. They think that walking in the Spirit means some physical manifestation of the Holy Spirit of God. I say that's blasphemy. That means for them, Christ died in vain. And don't let him die in vain for you. If you're expecting a physical manifestation of the evidence of God, for you, Jesus Christ has died in vain. Now, I didn't suffer the things that I suffered, and they were many, believe me. I lost every friend. I lost everything I owned. I lost every semblance of normalcy in the world's eyes. So that you could lose it. So that you could faint in your minds. I'd rather you physically died than quit here. Our light affliction, which worketh but for a moment, is for us worketh a far more an eternal weight of glory. The affliction is a momentary thing. It's the afterword of the affliction is now. But you get yourself pretty. How quickly can you take yourself seriously? I promise you, if there's something in you you can't laugh at tonight, you're being deceived. Go to Jeremiah 2.
This thing that we just said, I'm remembering, I talked once at a hot seat or something about when my father sat me down, my mother was in the hospital, and he gave me this lecture about how to take care of my brother and keep the house clean, and my mother would die. That all that was that was the other parent confirming something that was already there.
Yeah, but you also must see that that would have been a meaningless concept to you if my father had sat me down and said that to me. I'd have laughed at him.
I didn't, because it confirmed what I already believed.
Plus, it confirmed your propensity.
Right. It was a piece in the puzzle.
It was a piece in the puzzle. It was a light bulb. Aha! It was the aha experience, which all of them are bullshit, I promise you. All of your aha experiences are bullshit. All of your, oh, I understand, I see, they're all bullshit.
Oh, I understand that.
All that stuff I found out on pot.
Hey, I wrote it down.
The only experiences that are valid under the onto the face of God are the ones in tears on your face. If it's an aha, I understand, it means you don't understand. Whatsoever things are gained to me are lost to Christ. And every aha experience is a gain to you. For most of those 5 years I told you about, I was alone on my face. That's why I don't really care about your aha experiences. I make fun of your aha experiences, especially Harry's. Well, I'd spend more time with Harry than anybody else. Do you understand that?
It's a relative thing.
Jeremiah 2, starting in verse 13. Now, every one of you, this is talking to you. If you can say that you are the people of God. Okay? Start in verse 13. Or let's start in verse 11. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods, but my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Now you have changed your glory ever since your age of self-awareness. The process has started. The moment you became aware of self, plastic began to be coating the diamond or the pearl. You understand? Shit is piled on it. Every aha experience is a different level of a something less being piled on that which is pure. Everything that's a gain to you is something that's is something that's ultimately from the depth of hell, and it's ultimately pure evil because it detracts from the cross of Christ. Can you understand that? You know, I'll scare them. Very soon, I'm going to lay hands on Daryl in September. Very soon, I'm going to lay hands on Matt and Jackie to be sent out. There is not one thing that will come to your mind that you have learned that will cause you to be able to teach. How do I know? Because that's what I've done. Nothing I've ever learned has caused me to teach. But I promise you something. You were born to teach. It's the highest calling there can be on the face of the earth. And there's nothing you can do to prepare for it except forget everything you know. Because you have to return to that point. You have to have the flesh torn so that you can return to that pearl of great price without any shit on it. And it's there, not by your action, not by your understanding, not by going to seminary, not by coming to Bible study. It's there by the resurrection of Christ. And anything less is apostasy. There's only one story. And yet every time you hear it, something in you tingles. And every time you hear less than it, something in you wants to throw up. Every time you hear it, there's something deep within you that burns. Didn't our heart burn within us while he talked with us? And he opened unto us the scripture. But by the same token, every time you try to talk about it, something will come against you. Every time the Tyra and I have been together, and she has had a point of great understanding or seeing when there were tears and crying, sometimes within minutes, she's attacked. Massively. Yeah, I've said, in the world, there's no more difficult job that she has than to be my girlfriend. That's terrible. That's a terrible thing. Shut up.
She's got worse than we did.
Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods, but my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Every one of you have done it. What the hell is that?
Somebody turning power steering. It's not so powerful.
Be astonished, O you heavens, and this, and be horribly afraid. be horribly afraid. Be horribly afraid. Oh, I don't know what's the matter around here. I'm afraid of Ole. Be astonished. O you heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid, and be ye very desolate, saith the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me. Today, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out themselves, cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Do you understand? How often, how much time, you wonder why you're tired? You're tired because you're digging those fucking cisterns night and day. The moment you get one built a little bit, God comes along and breaks it, and then you get so sad because it holds no water. God's breaking your cisterns. But then what do? You go dig another one. I'll gut it right this time. Your earthen vessel looks like the biggest colony of prairie dogs in history is digging in it.
Trying to put that in the notes.
What? I've never driven across the King Ranch.
You never go bike riding across that ranch.
But you see how the stupidity? How many cisterns are you in the process of building right now? Today?
A couple of hundred or so.
And it's, can you see? The more, all that's happening as we continue in this is you see the stupidity of even building one. You've forsaken the fountain, and you're out there trying to dig your own well, and it doesn't even hold the water that you steal from your neighbor. The God that created the universe is residing within you, and you have the gall to be worried about something? Oh, but you don't understand. You have the gall to be afraid of me? Do that again, and I'll show you how to be afraid of me.
In the fans go wild.
You're taking away all the outrageous.
Break time.
Now I see why you put Liz in the
break.
Well, wait a minute. No, let's sit down a minute.
Sit down.
Becca. Oh, Becca.
Liz and Becca. That's exactly what she would have done.
Listen. This is why Christ said, out of your, they that believe on me, out of their bellies shall flow rivers of living water. No longer just a fountain, a river. A river that has all life within it. The only time the river is without life, the only time a river dies, is when it's dammed. It dams then because the water isn't running or living water, it's polluted water. Now, there is nothing within you that can cause that water to be life-giving. Everything within you can only pollute that. Now, that's why let it out. That's why break the dam. You break the dam by opening your mouth. Do you understand that?
I was thinking about that when Barbara was talking about the aftermath with her mother from her visit. It's just the fact that she was there, and who knows what she said, but it had an effect.
But hear this. What happens is, and the God of this world has great plan, because it's symbolized right here. See? This Jordan River comes from Mount Hermon down through the valley. This part here, which is the Dead Sea, was the most beautiful spot on the face of the earth, according to all ancient documents, not just the Bible. Because at that time, the river flowed all the way down, and it was freely flowing. And Petra and these great civilizations that were down in this area thrived in this beautiful valley. Now it's dead desert. Why? Because this is a picture of you. You've damned Sodom and Gomorrah in you so that there's no living water and there's only this death water. Well, that's a picture of you. There's no way to make this water alive except letting it out. You can't put any little pills to purify it. You can't get any nice little scripture vitamins to make it nice. You can't memorize or hide it somewhere to make it good. It's polluted. Well, the interesting part of this is when you begin to speak, it's like the first time the dam opens. There's all kinds of shit there. Pretty soon comes out, you're starting to speak and you're trying to get real spiritual, out comes a dead goat.
Or a dead Italian, or an old fire.
Yeah. And then you go a little far, you got this, oh, I'm going to be really spiritual today, and then out comes, a dead Levite.
Guido with
and you get sore in your lips.
Shoes.
Yeah.
Wherever water comes out, you get sore.
Yeah. Do you understand? So then you go like Jeremiah. Ha! I'm not going to ever talk about this shit ever again. I'm not going to talk in Bible study ever once again.
That's Jeritira.
Jeritira. Or I'm going to tell a lie.
That was a good thing for you to
tell.
Did anybody see that?
Hey, Tyra, it works for me.
No. There was a Kathy cartoon that was her. She Kathy got in all this trouble, and then at the end of it, she said, I know, I'll lie.
Her boyfriend said, I hope you've learned your lesson. And it's like she's standing there just kind of... And the next little thing he said, well, I know, I'll lie.
Chapter 2, verse... 14.
We got a match moods here. Everybody's been real sad.
Is Israel a servant? Is he a homeborn slave? Spoiled. Why is he spoiled? The word spoil there means it means that the sense of it, it means it's less, he possesses less than he should. He is, that's the sense. You understand? I mean, it's like, it's a millionaire out begging on the street, is the sense of it.
Less.
He possesses less than he should. In other words, he's a millionaire, but he's out begging, because he doesn't know he's a millionaire. Okay? The young lions roared upon him and yelled, and they made his land waste. His cities are burned and without inhabitant. Also the children of Noph and Taphanes, that's Egypt, have broken the crown of thy head. The broken the crown means they have fed on the crown. What that means is the capitals of Egypt have fed on the crown of God. You understand that? Think about it.
You mean the crown like an ornament or crown like...
No, the crown like the authority.
Okay.
Hast thou not procured this unto thyself, and that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God when he led thee by the way, and now... What hast thou to do in the way of Egypt? To drink the waters of Sihor? Or what hast thou to do in the way of Assyria? To drink the waters of the river? Now the way of Sihor is the Hebrew word which means black, or blackened, or spoiled. It means something that was good, but now is seen to be worthless. And the idea is that you're still drinking the waters of self-seeking from Egypt and the waters of cause and effect from Assyria. You understand? That's where you're getting, that's what you're using to satisfy your thirst. Now, what is your thirst? There's two things. You hunger and you thirst. You hunger... Huh? You but what are you hungry for? You hunger for... How many times have we talked about this? Huh?
You hunger for righteousness.
I'm always wrong when I just guess.
What do the two things, what do the wine and the bread satisfy? The bread satisfies purpose. What am I doing here? Sustenance. That sustains me. The wine, the water, the thirst satisfies rightness, being right. I mean, that's the mystical meaning of the bread and the wine. You're hungering after something. Everyone is hungering after the same thing. What? Who am I and what am I doing here? Who am I is really... The who am I and the what am I doing here questions are the first questions you asked, probably.
And those, and the answers to those are the bread and the wine.
Right. Their hunger and thirst. Well, let's go on. You understand that God is saying, instead of waiting on Him, instead of being in a condition of simply waiting, you are in your mind, just as Israel did in the flesh, you are in your mind, you go to the way of Egypt, to drink the waters of Sihor. That means what I just said. You're drinking waters from that which you've already know has been blackened or without purpose. You already know it's worthless. It's a worthless trip to go back, but you do it again. You understand? And to drink, the and thou, what hast thou to do in the way of Assyria? Assyria, Babylon are the same thing. Babylon is the place of religion, the place of cause and effect. Your religion now, your relationship to God for most of you is still based on cause and effect. You still believe that if you're good, you'll be rewarded, and if you're bad, you'll be punished. That's the waters of Assyria. Can you understand that? All of those are bullshit. How many times have you drunk of the waters of Sihor, of Egypt, which means you have seen that the way, that drink, that way of doing that, or that purpose was false. It was fruitless. It was without purpose. And yet you think that, well, if I do it a little bit differently, or if I hold my mouth a little bit better, or if I hold my lip over here, then when I drink of them, I'll be satisfied. Now, God is saying to you, just as He said to Israel after the flesh, how long are you going to continue to do that? How much stupidity is there in you? Over and over and over, He's cautioned you. You've seen the fruitlessness. He's put barriers and obstacles in your way, and you can, rather than responding to those barriers or obstacles as a signal of the Holy One of Israel to stop and wait on Him, what you do is you go inward and begin to drink of the waters of Sihor or of the waters of Assyria to convince yourself that I'll do it better next time, I'll get it right this time, or He will do it for me this time. Over and over and over. How many obstacles has he placed in your path that you have ignored? That's what this is saying. You are convinced that the obstacles that are in your path are that which is something from either my bad luck or my parents or my heritage or my intelligence or something. They don't even do that. They have to do with the Holy Spirit causing an obstacle in your path to cause you to stop. That's so simple. Why then do you tomorrow, tonight, a few minutes from now, if something doesn't go your way, then you will consider again to go drink of the waters of Sihor, or the rivers of Egypt, or the rivers of Assyria. That's what we're about to see. Thine own wickedness shall correct you. Your own evil shall correct you. The only reason you do it is because you're inherently evil, and you've got to come to the end of it. That's why I'm never really very nice to you.
I don't even notice.
What?
I don't really notice.
You did something nice. I noticed the heck out of it. God.
What did I do wrong?
I don't mean it.
Yes, you do.
Hold on.
Thine own wickedness shall correct you, and thy backsliding shall reprove you. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, you don't see that it's an evil thing that you've forsaken him. You think it's a happenstance of fate. Or you think it's a plot of another piece of flesh to do you harm. Or you think a million other things. You don't see that it's your own evilness that has caused you to continue. You understand? For of old time I have broken thy yoke and burst thy bands. He's let you out of prison 2,000 years ago. And thou saidest, I will not transgress. When upon every high hill and under every green tree you wander and play the harlot. You understand that? You go up in your mind to have a plan, to accomplish something. You go up in your mind, oh, ho, I will now do this in order that I can get that. I'll do that in order to avoid this. You're in your mind, you're going up to a mountain, lying under a tree, and fucking. That's what you're doing when you do that. You understand? God is your husband. It's his pleasure, it's to be your total covering. That you have no need but that which he is able to fully satisfy with absolutely no effort on your part. None, zero. And yet you go in your mind up to these mountains to satisfy yourself over and over and over and over, just as surely as Israel did after the flesh. Thou saidst, I will not transgress when upon every high hill and under every green tree thou wanderest playing the harlot. Yet I planted thee a noble vine. Holy, a right seed. How then art thou turned into the degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me? The strange vine means that it's one that's not producing the fruit that it was intended to. For though thou wash thee with nitre, and take thee much soap, yet thine iniquity is marked before me, saith the Lord God. That means you cannot improve yourself. You cannot improve your lot. You cannot improve the way you think. You cannot improve the way you behave. You cannot improve your appearance. You cannot improve any part of you. And if you give breath to improving any part of you, you give all the land back to the enemy. No matter how much you watch yourself. You understand? But I promise you, before the morning sun comes, you will have developed another way of improving yourself. How can you say, I am not polluted, that I have not gone after Balaam? See thy way in the valley, know what thou hast done. Thou art a swift dromedary traversing her ways. That means you're a camel in heat, looking for somewhere to satisfy that need. A wild ass. Well, now you're...
Boy, it's just getting better and better.
Huh?
Lower and lower on the food chain.
And me, boy.
A wild ass, used to the wilderness, that snuffeth up the wind at her pleasure. That means she's looking for somebody to... places. In her occasion, who can turn her away? That means when she's in heat, nothing can turn her away. That's what God says you are. An ass in heat. A camel. All they that seek her will not weary themselves. In her month they shall find her. Withhold thy foot from being unshod, and thy throat from thirst. But thou saidest, there is no hope. No, for I have loved strangers, and after them will I go. You understand? As the thief is ashamed when he is found, so is the house of Israel ashamed. They, their kings, their princes, and their priests, and their prophets, all of us are ashamed, because all of us are the house of Israel. Why? And here comes the answer to her question. Sorry about that. Took a little while. Saying to a stock, thou art my father, and to a stone, thou hast brought me forth. For they have turned their back unto me, and not their face. But in the time of their trouble, they will say, arise now and save us. Now, all of you have said to a stock or to a stone, you've said to a stock, you are my father. Now, why to a stock?
A stock
is a piece of wood that's been carved. I don't care whether you live with your dad right now. Your image of your dad is not what he looks like. It's the image of the stock that you have carved of what he looks like. You understand that? And to a stone thou hast brought me forth. Now what's the stone?
Your mother.
Your mother. A stock and a stone.
A pillar and a post.
A pillar and a post. But the stock for the females is where you have arrived at your definition of what it takes to be at peace. Now, I don't care if your father died before you were born. He's the one that you got the definition from of what it takes to be at peace. I don't care if your mother died at birth. She's the one that you got your definition of what it means to be in a truce. I pray that you will do one thing. If you run across something that doesn't make sense to you or that you don't understand, I pray that you will pray. I pray that you will start pulling the strings until it unravels before you. Saying to a stock, thou art my father, to a stone thou hast brought me forth, for they have turned their back unto me and not their face. In other words, the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies is right here. It's right in front of your face all the time. You turn your back on it in order to be right. Everything that you have done in your life it's been a balance between being at peace and trying to be right. They are always in opposition. Being at peace and being right. The male portion of our being always wants to be right. The female portion of our being always wants to be at peace. The propensity for both needs is within each of us, just as the X and Y chromosomes are in each of us. But if you're a female, the dominant one within you is to be at peace. That's why I say you've gotten yours from the stock. To be right is the stone. Am I communicating? Do you understand at all what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. The two can never be. They're the yin and the yang. They're the dichotomy. They're the dialectic of communism. They're the yin and the yang of Chinese philosophy. They can never be. They can never both happen at the same time. But within you, the desire for peace and the desire to be right has been this wrenching that's still wrenching you. Now, the only way to be out of that wheel of the yin and the yang, or the peace and right, are the thing that's powering the wheel of life. In Chinese philosophy or in Far Eastern philosophy, you don't want to be on that wheel anymore. You want to get off the wheel. You don't want to give breath to either the need to be right or the need to be at peace. I think I'm going too fast here. The need to be at peace is this phenomenon that it's the mother saying, no, you know, don't trouble your dad. The need to be right is the father saying, why can't you do this right? I mean, that's in very simplistic terms the essence of what we're studying. The need to be right and the need to be at peace in their relationship to what forgiveness or a truce is. Because in order to exist, you've had to call a truce between those two opposing forces. And depending on your personality and depending how you've been shaped, your need will be one or the other. For me, for instance, I didn't give a shit about being at peace. Never have, never will. But I cared about being right. But I learned what it took for me to be at peace, to be at truce between those two opposing things from my mother. My father wasn't a player in this issue. Can you see how this, the stock and the stone, are the father and the mother, are the peace and the rightness, are the bread and the wine, are all connected. Now, God says it's terrible to be at peace, to say peace, peace, when there is no peace, and it's terrible to be concerned with your own rightness. So those two things are your own wickedness. What did you just say? The things that will reprove you?
Backsliding
and wickedness. It's wickedness, which is the opposite of being right, and backsliding away from peace. Now, I somehow have to cause you to see that every time that you have had a stimulus in your life, since the time of self-awareness, you have operated only on these two bases. You've either said to the stock, you are my father, or to the stone, you've raised me up.
Or peace between the two when there's
right
balance.
Now, God, in his resurrection, doesn't deal with those two. He goes and explodes both of them. Religion, that's why religion is so evil. Because religion enhances both of these. It teaches you to say peace, peace when there's no peace, and it causes you to put on and be concerned more and more with your own rightness. I don't care how sincere your religious guy is. There's some real nice, sincere religious guys. Or girls. Or mothers or dads. They're pure evil. And Christ will say to them, many shall come to me in that day, saying, Lord, Lord, we did all these things. And he shall say, depart from me, I never knew you, ye workers of iniquity. Watch. You say to a stock, thou art my father, and to a stone thou hast brought me forth, for you have turned your back unto me, and not your face. But in the time of your trouble, say, arise now, God, and save us. That's foxhole theology. That's prison conversions. Hallelujah. Isn't he nice? God. Oh, you cannot believe how many of those I see on that fucking grand jury. These guys come in and testify for themselves, and they say, oh, I'm so sorry, but I found God now.
Really?
Oh, God.
I'm sure.
Yeah, well, wouldn't you do that?
I guess. I just never thought about it.
You grab the straws in a moment like that.
Do you understand how God hates that? How man loves it? How religion loves it? How God hates it? These idiots get up in these churches and give their testimony, and it's always foxhole theology, and they love it. People clap. Where are thy gods that thou hast made thee? Let them arise if they can. Save thee in the time of thy trouble. For according to the number of thy cities are thy gods, O Judah. Wherefore will you plead with me? You all have transgressed against me, saith the Lord. In vain have I smitten your children and received no correction. Your own sword hath devoured your prophets like a destroying lion. O generation, see ye the word of the Lord? Have I been a wilderness unto Israel, a land of darkness? Wherefore say my people, we are lords, we will come no more unto thee. Can a maid forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. Why trimmest thou thy way to seek love? Therefore hast thou also taught the wicked ones thy ways. The connection here is you've forgotten me days without number. Why trimmest thou thy way to find love? Do you understand? He is love. And any attempt to trim your or to change your own way is the definition that you've forsaken him. In religion's mind, the attempt to change your own way is righteous, sincere. God hates it. Why trimmest thou thy way to find love? But then, to make it worse, these idiots that are trimming their way to find love write books to teach the Gentiles how to do it. Why trimmest thou thy way to seek love? Therefore hast thou also taught the wicked ones thy ways. That's what it says. Also in thy skirts is found the blood of the souls of the poor innocents. I have not found it by secret search, but upon all of these. Now let's look, keep your hand there. Go to Psalm 106.
Books, writing books about this will. I was just at Half Price Books today. And I looked at row after row of books that were just advice, Christian advice. It was really wonderful.
and they were all returned. They were all sold to half-life books.
Yeah, and then there were all the Jewish advice ones, right after all the Christian advice ones.
Yeah, well, if you're a Jew, you're not going to buy a Christian.
Say hallelujah or say oy vey.
Start in verse. We could stand anywhere.
Okay.
Let's start in verse 24. It's talking about, you got to, at first, I mean, I have to get you to say amen first.
Uh-oh.
Do you all believe, do you all believe that within you is the promised land now?
No.
Can all of you say amen to that?
Amen.
Hold on, we'll say it again.
Do you believe that the promised land, the mercy seat, the Ark of the Covenant, the Holy One of Israel is within you now? Amen. The promised land is here. Okay. Start in verse 24. Yea, you despise the pleasant land. You believe not his word. You murmur in your tents. You hearken not unto the voice of the Lord. Therefore he lifted up his hand against you to overthrow you in the wilderness. You think you're in the wilderness? He'll let you be in the wilderness forever. You think you're in the world? He'll let you be in the world forever. You think you're on the mercy seat? You're on the mercy seat forever.
Is this like the, as you see God, that's what he'll be unto you?
Amen. Okay. Understand that?
Mm-hmm.
That's a biggie.
I don't understand why it is that way. I mean, it's like...
Because the only purpose of time and space is to test that. Doesn't matter the ones that fail the test, they just get float down, they just get, you know, they get washed.
Float down the river.
Well, you float down the river in the menstrual cycle. It's God's menstrual cycle.
Is that why you should find pleasure in everything?
Yeah. Because he is in all. To pure in heart, all things are pure. Okay. Therefore he lifted up his hand against them to overthrow them in the wilderness, to overthrow your seed also among the nations, and to scatter you in the lands. You have joined yourselves unto Baal Peor, and wait till you find what that one means. You have eaten the sacrifices of the dead. You have provoked him to anger with your inventions. The word invention there is the word, it's the internal planning of your mind. And the plague is broken in upon you.
Now I remember Baal Peor.
Then stood up Phinehas and executed judgment. You remember what Phinehas? Phinehas is the one that made the sword.
Yes, I remember what he did with it too.
Oh, he stuck it through
when he executed judgment.
Yeah.
Like what, people were boinking each other then.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Phinehas.
Hmm?
That
Phinehas.
And that sword. The one that I saw. That was wild. Then stood Phinehas and executed judgment, so the plague was stayed. And that was counted unto him for righteousness unto all generations forevermore. That's wild, isn't it? That was just the beginnings of the plague. They angered him also at the you angered him also at the waters of strife. So that when ill with Moses for their sakes. Waters of strife are the waters of Meribah, the bitter waters. What Moses did is he threw the cross, he threw a piece of wood into the water, and they were made sweet. But it cost Moses, their rebellion cost Moses. For their sakes, because they provoked his spirit, so that he spake unadvisedly with his lips. He spake foolishly. Now, what did he do? Is he right after that, you remember? He hit the rock rather than speaking to the rock. And he, for that, he never saw the promised land.
He saw it.
He never entered it.
What's the difference? I mean, there's a major difference there. I mean, between the doing and the...
Between hitting and speaking it? He's hit it the first time.
He can't crucify Christ.
He can't crucify Christ twice. He hit it the first time, and he spoke to it the second time.
Yeah,
I lost it. Well, talk about it later. I want to get there. Remember that lost one. They did not destroy the nations concerning them. You did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded you. In other words, there are still the foreign nations within you, the foreign value systems. But were mingled among the heathen and learned their works and served their idols, which were a snare unto you. You sacrificed your sons and your daughters unto demons and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with their blood. Thus were they defiled with their own works, and went a-whoring with their own inventions. Okay, now go back to Jeremiah 2. Verse 34. In thy skirts is found the blood of the souls of the poor innocents. Now, what does that mean? We just saw it. Your blood, the blood that's there, is the blood that of all of the people that you've caused to adopt your value systems. Now, I'll say it one time. The blood is all of the people who you've caused to adopt your value system in order to have the appearance of peace, in order to have a truce. That's, from the Spirit, that's just cutting them into little pieces. And that's the blood that's on your skirts. You understand? That's why truces are so evil. You got it? All right. Also in thy skirts is found the blood of the souls of the poor innocents. Now he's talking, I know it. I can prove it if you give me enough time, that he is talking there about the truces that you have made. I have not found it by secret search, but upon all. I mean, it didn't take any great brain, any great discernment to see it. Yet thou sayest, because I am innocent, surely his anger shall turn from me. Now, there's not one of you that'll say, surely I am innocent. But what you will say is, surely that other person is more guilty than me. Therefore you judge them. The moment you judge another person for anything, you are saying to God, surely I am innocent. You understand? That's a biggie. It's not smart to say to God, surely I'm innocent, when you got the blood of the murderer on your skirt. Now, I'm not talking Greek here. I pray you understand me. Yet thou sayest, because I am innocent, surely his anger shall turn from me. Behold, I will plead with thee, because thou sayest, I have not ashamed. I have not sinned. You don't want God to plead with you. There's a lot of things you don't want. When you read this book, whenever it says God visits, you don't want God to visit you.
No.
Huh?
Come in there. I should have known to go.
Wait. You made a statement. I got lost. We're talking about the blood of the innocents. That the innocents are the people that you have forced
to enter into a truce with you.
Well, that wasn't what you said. You said
to adopt your ways
to enter in, but for the purpose of entering a truce.
That's where I get lost, okay? I mean, I can see, like, me trying to make people, and in some cases succeeding, to make people do what I think a truce is. Keep things neat, clean, peaceful, smile, don't have any problems.
How many of you killed that didn't? How many of you cut up into little pieces that didn't?
Bunches.
That's the same thing.
It isn't that I made a truce with them.
You've tried to, though. That's what your mind wanted to do. You wanted to get them to adopt your way.
And And that would be a truce.
And that would be a truce.
And if he didn't do it, then I killed him.
Right. And if you, but you had to cut him up to make him do it, even if they, you know. You had to try to cut him up. Just the act of doing it was cutting him up.
If they won't agree with the appearance of peace.
Cut him up. Okay. But now we're working out. Now here, I said all of that to say this. Okay? Why gaddest thou about so much to change your way? Now, hear me. Every single syllable of mind talk is gadding about to change your way. Every single syllable that your mind speaks, it can do nothing but gad about to try to change your way. You have the authority tonight to still that evil thing. Get thee behind me, Satan, and don't pay attention to it evermore. Why gaddest thou about so much to change your way? That's what you're doing in your mind. Do you understand that? There is nothing that you can do in your mind that doesn't have that as its objective. It's impossible. That's what your mind was designed for, to gad about. Now, you know, gadding about got you nowhere. So quit gadding about. Therefore, you no longer have to fall into the trap of mind talk. And don't tell me, well, it's I have to do it. Oh, I'm not thinking of anything.
My mind is blank.
Nothing, dear.
Nothing, dear. Nothing.
What's that like?
To have an Instagram?
So basically all the rest of this
led up to that.
Well, I know, but it's also talking about the evil of trying to change someone else's way. That, I mean, that being more evil even than the fact you're trying to change.
No, there's not any more evil.
Oh, the same evil.
Same evil.
It's evil.
Why gaddest thou about so much to change thy way? No. Then the next sentence, remember, you got to think of this. And thou also shalt be ashamed of Egypt as thou wast ashamed of Assyria. Now, what that means is, you're going to, when God is revealed in his totality, I mean, I did all that. And unless you can say, but he paid the price, you're without hope. Christ is my life. He paid the price. And you have the authority to tell your mind to shut up based on that aspect. And it will. That's what I had to do. Over and over and over and over. Shut up. The price has been paid. Because I could tell that all of my thought processes were for the function of trying to exact a price. From me or from someone else. They were trying to exact a bribe. A satisfactory wage. Do you understand that? A little bit?
Yeah. I mean, in cutting a deal with God.
Well, no, just your actions, all of your thoughts. No matter what they're about, they're trying to make you come out on top, trying to make you get paid from other people.
Cutting a deal with yourself.
Yeah.
Everything's a transaction.
Okay, no, I understand.
Every thought is a transaction. Okay? Why gaddest thou about so much to change thy way? Thou also shalt be ashamed of Egypt, as thou wast ashamed of Assyria. Yea, thou shalt go forth from him, and thine hands upon thine head, for the Lord has rejected thy confidences, and thou shalt not prosper in them. Period. Now, did we see anything tonight?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Jeremiah's not such a great book.
It's one of the icky
some ways.
We haven't gone through any of the icky scriptures in a while.
No Ezekiel, no Jeremiah.
Icky?
Yeah, we did it in August.
Icky scriptures?
Now, if you would, turn to the icky books of the Bible. Let us pray.
Old Testament, New Testament.
From Jeremiah the icky, chapter
the icky sea scrolls.
Huh?
Say something.
Okay, take it, big guy. Next.